Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeh Ben Chava, Haramir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to focus this week's program on the terrible massacre that took place at that Pittsburgh temple, where at least 11 people were murdered. I don't know how many of the 11 were actually Jews, because it's a conservative temple, and the conservative and reform assimilationist movement sometimes count people as Jews who are not Jews, according to Torah Judaism. If the Torah says you're a Jew, if Judaism says you're a Jew, then you're a Jew. If not, you're not a Jew, no matter how many assimilated Jews want to pretend. It has to be according to Judaism, and again, in accordance with the conservative and reform assimilationist movements, they sometimes count people as Jewish who are not Jewish. So I don't know how many out of the 11 were really Jewish. I assume that most of them were, and again, the objective of this vicious murderer was to slaughter as many Jews as possible. So it was a terrible incident, a tragic incident. And we're going to say on this program something that's politically incorrect and controversial, but that has to be said. Hashem, God, is warning the Jews of America and the Jews of the Galut in general. The Galut is the exile. All lands outside of the land of Israel are the Galut. God is warning the Jews of the Galut that they must make Aliyah, that they must move to the land of Israel, that we are commanded to live in the land of Israel, and there's nothing more important for us than to live in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel. And we're going to discuss the extreme importance of that on this program, and what the difference is between living in the Galut and living in Eretz Yisrael, living in the land of Israel for a Jew. Now, I have some new technology here that I'm trying out. You're not even seeing this, but I'm hoping this is going to work out well. Let's see how it works out on the program. I have a post that I placed on the JTF forum, and it's in the general discussion section, and it's titled Mitzvah to Settle in Eretz Yisrael. So if you want to see the quotes that I'm quoting eventually after the show, don't do it during the show because we want you to concentrate on the show, but after the show you can look at the posts in the JTF forum and you can see the quotes that I'm quoting. First of all, it says in Ketubot 110b, here's what it says, and we're required, by the way, to believe in this. We're required to believe in Torah Shebe'al Peh and Torah Shebichtav. Torah Shebichtav is the written Torah, and Torah Shebe'al Peh is the oral Torah. If you're a Jew that wants to believe in Judaism, you have to believe in both. You cannot follow the written Torah without the oral Torah. You cannot. You cannot do one out of the 613 commandments properly, or understand, truly understand the 613, any of the 613 commandments without the oral Torah. It is absolutely impossible to do so. So you have to follow the oral Torah and the written Torah. And here is from the oral Torah, Ketubot 110b. It says, and I quote, "A person should always dwell in Eretz Yisrael, even in a city inhabited mostly by heathens, and he should not dwell outside the land, even in a city inhabited mostly by Jews. For anyone who dwells in Eretz Yisrael is like one who has a god, and anyone who dwells outside the land is like one who has no god," unquote. A Jew that dwells outside of Eretz Yisrael is like a person that has no God. And a Jew that dwells in Eretz Yisrael, we're being taught here, is a Jew that has a God. And let's understand this. This is saying that even if you live in a city that is mostly Jewish, that the 99% of the residents are Jewish, or even if it was a city where 100% of the residents are Jewish, If it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you have no God. Because living outside of Israel for the Jew is only meant as an onish, as a punishment. It is meant as a curse. And if you continue, and you want the curse, and you want the punishment, you want to live outside, and you think it's good, that you think this is good, and you go defying God's word, then you're living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Because it's a curse and a punishment, we're required to live in Eretz Yisrael. Even if you had to live in a city with a majority of residents in that city, in Eretz Yisrael, were idol-worshipping heathens, you'd be better off there than living in a city where the majority of the residents are Jewish, if you're outside of Israel. That's how important it is to live in Eretz Yisrael. And again, that's Ketubot 110b. And then it says in Bamidbar. Bamidbar is the book of Numbers, 33:53. You shall possess the land and dwell in it, for to you I have given the land to possess it, unquote. So Hashem is clearly commanding us to dwell in the land and to possess the land. This is what Hashem commands us to do in the oral Torah, in the book of Numbers, in Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar. And then in Sefer Devarim, 11:31, Devarim is the book of Deuteronomy in the Torah. It says, and I quote, you shall possess it and you shall dwell therein, unquote. In other words, again, you're required to possess the land. You're required to take control of the land, impose Jewish sovereignty over the land, and you're required to live there. You must live there. That's clearly being commanded by Hashem, by God, by the creator of the universe, for all Jews. You must live in the land of Israel. And then we see that it also says, from another Jewish source, Haramban writes, and he writes this in an addendum to Sefer HaMitzvot, as positive commandment number 4, quote, we were commanded to take possession of the land that God, may he be blessed, gave to our forefathers Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and we must not leave it in the hands of any other nation or let it remain desolate, unquote. We're commanded to take possession of the land. Think carefully what Harambam is saying. It's a commandment for the Jews to take possession of the land, and we are commanded to live there and not leave it desolate. That's a commandment. And then Chazal praised those who engage in the mitzvah and obey the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, which is settling of the land. And they wrote, and I quote, and they wrote that the mitzvah, the commandment of living in Eretz Yisrael, is equal to all the other mitzvot in the Torah. There are 613 mitzvot in the Torah. The mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is equal to all the other mitzvot in the Torah. That's how important it is. And that's in Sifri, Re'eh 53. Now, Chazal also say that there are other mitzvot that are equal to all the other mitzvot in the Torah, like Brit Milah, circumcision, tzedakah, charity, tzitzit, tefillin, Shabbat, Limud Torah, studying the Torah, kindness, Maasei Chesed. All of that is also equal. Those are also described as equal to all the other mitzvot in the Torah. But from a halachic point of view, Yishuv Haaretz takes precedence over all of them. In other words, making Aliyah takes precedence over all of these things that I just mentioned now. Because it's the only mitzvah that overrides the rabbinic injunction against violating Shabbat, what's called Shvut. If somebody needs to violate a Shvut in order to perform circumcision on Shabbat, for instance, we postpone the circumcision, we postpone the Brit instead of violating the Shvut. And that's true for the other commandments listed here that are described as equal to all the other mitzvot. But only the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is the one mitzvah which supersedes even the commandment, even the rabbinic injunction of Shvut. For the sake of Yishuv Haaretz, the rabbis allow one to purchase a home in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbat, if necessary. Of course, if you can avoid it, you don't want to do that. If you can avoid doing it, you don't want to do it unless it's absolutely necessary. But you are permitted to even purchase a home in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbat, if necessary. And even if this entails violating the Shvut of Amira Lenochri, which means telling a non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbat, which you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbat. But you're permitted to do this if it's necessary to get a home or to acquire land in Eretz Yisrael. Only for that mitzvah it's permitted. And the Talmud states that in Gittin 8b and Bava Kama 80b with Tosafot. And now we go to the final point. I quoted Haramban with a nun at the end. Harambam with a mem at the end does not list the mitzvah of settling in Eretz Yisrael as one of the 613 commandments, one of the 613 mitzvot, and right away all of the Jews that don't want to settle in Eretz Yisrael use this as their excuse to violate Hashem's commandment of living in Eretz Yisrael. They use this as their excuse, very weak excuse. Because Harambam doesn't include it as one of the 613 commandments because he says you don't include mitzvot that involve the entire Torah. In other words, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael encompasses the entire Torah. It is so important. It's the foundation of the entire Torah. So it's not necessary to list it as one of the 613 because it's a Torah, it's a commandment that is integral to all 613 of the commandments in the Torah. As he writes in Mitzvah 153, that settling in the land is all-inclusive. Settling in Eretz Yisrael is all-inclusive. In other words, it's something that encompasses all the mitzvot of the Torah. And so that's why. So he basically says it's such a huge mitzvah. It is such an enormous obligation, a chovah, an obligation upon every Jew, that instead of listing it as one of the 613 commandments, as the Ramban does, Harambam with a mem, says, no, this is the foundation of the entire Torah. There's no need to list it because this is the foundation of everything in the Torah. So that's how important it is in Judaism. In other words, absolutely essential. Again, it's as if you have no God. If you don't live in the land of Israel, you're required to live there. And this is an absolute commandment. Now, we were told all types of things when the Zionist movement started by so-called religious Jews who told us we shouldn't live in Eretz Yisrael. There were religious Jews who did understand, of course, the importance. HaGaon miVilna, the Vilna Gaon, understood the importance of settling in Eretz Yisrael. And other great Torah scholars understood the importance. And Harav Kook, in more modern times, understood it. So there were those who understood it, but many so-called religious scholars, like in the Aguda movement, were anti-Zionists. They did not understand. They thought we should be staying in Poland. And of course, the Jews who listened to them went to Auschwitz. I mean, that's just a fact. That's just a fact. And the Jews who listened to those who said you should stay in Russia before the Bolshevik Revolution were caught up by the communists in Russia. So they have been proven wrong historically. The anti-Zionist Jews, the anti-Israel Jews, the Jews that didn't want a Jewish state have been proven wrong over and over again. Those who don't recognize that every Jew must live in Eretz Yisrael have been proven wrong over and over again by history. The Holocaust being the ultimate example, the physical Holocaust in the 1940s. And now we have a spiritual Holocaust that's taking place that again proves that the exile, the Galut, is a graveyard for the Jewish people. Only Eretz Yisrael offers a future for the Jewish people and offers Geulah, offers redemption for the Jewish people. Only Eretz Yisrael. Of course, the Jews, these Jews who in these various movements, Haredi movements and Hasidic movements and other movements that oppose the creation of the State of Israel, they'll never admit they were wrong. They'll never admit that they were wrong and that their leaders were wrong, but they were. I mean, they were. And someday, when the Mashiach comes, they're going to be forced to admit they were wrong. But anyway, Hashem is pushing Jews into Eretz Yisrael as the Galut self-destructs. Think about these statistics. Only about 5% of the Jews in the world lived in Eretz Yisrael in 1948 when the State of Israel was created. Only about 5%, 95% of the Jews lived outside of Israel when Israel was first created. Today, roughly half of the Jews, almost half, or might even be more than half, but let's say almost half of the Jews in the world today live in Eretz Yisrael. 6 million Jews live in Eretz Yisrael today. And there aren't, I don't believe there are more than 12 million Jews in the world. I don't believe it. The people that inflate the numbers and say they're 13 million or 14 million, it's baloney. It's baloney. The people they count as Jews are not Jews. And it's just, and they inflate the numbers because they think they have greater influence if they pretend there are more Jews living in the United States than there really are. So, about half the Jews in the world today now live in Eretz Yisrael. It was 5%, now it's almost 50% or roughly 50% of the Jews in the world living in Eretz Yisrael. Look at how Hashem is pushing the Jews against their will, pushing them into the land of Israel because of this historic need for this to happen. In His mercy, Hashem is pushing the Jewish people into the land. And, you know, you see the results of the difference between living in Israel and living in the Galut. And of course, there are Jews who live in Israel who end up leaving Israel, and Israelis, we all know Israelis who came to America and came to other countries and left Israel. They're going to the graveyard of the Galut and they're abandoning the land of Israel. They're doing something that's insane. That's very, very bad. Very, very bad. In any event, Israel is the only country in the world today with a natural birth increase every year. Natural population increase for Jews. In other words, Jewish babies that are born every year naturally increase Israel's Jewish population every year. Israel has a high birth rate. Among settlers and religious Jews in Israel, and the religious Jews are about a third of Israeli Jews now, and it wasn't like that in the past, I mean, it's growing, about one third of the Jews in Israel now are religious. And that one third that's religious, including the Jewish settlers in Judea and Samaria, they have a higher birth rate than the Muslims, than the highest child producing Muslims. They have a higher birth rate than the Muslims, the religious Jews in Israel. And the majority of Jewish babies that are being born in Israel today are being born into religious families. So the future of Israel will be a religious state. Whereas the future in America and all these other countries is doom, assimilation and doom. All of these countries, it's assimilation and doom because we're not allowed to live here. And if there are rabbis who say you are allowed because they're too weak to move to Eretz Yisrael and they don't have the guts to tell their people to go, and because they themselves don't want to go, and because they think that they have more influence if they stay here, whatever their reasons are, okay, it's terrible. I mean, it's just absolutely terrible. This is why we've had so many tragedies in Jewish history. But the majority of Jewish babies being born in Israel today are religious, are being born into religious families. The future is, and the religious population as a percentage of population keeps growing every year. And the anti-religious leftist Jews in Israel, the self-hating Jews, are panicking over this. The future for true Torah Jews, the future for Jews who believe in Hashem, who believe in God, is in Eretz Yisrael, is in the land of Israel. And in fact, look at how the land creates so much more of a normal situation for Jews. Even the secular, the non-religious Jews in Israel have a natural birth rate increase every year. More Jews are born every year to secular parents. More Jews are born every year than Jews who die or Jews that leave or Jews that assimilate. There is a natural Jewish population increase even among the secular, and among the religious it's much higher. But even among the two-thirds of Israeli Jews that are still secular, and again, that number shrinking. Religious are growing. Even among the secular, there is a natural population increase among Jews. It is, again, the only country on the planet Earth where the Jewish population is increasing and where there's a natural population increase for the Jews. Every other country, there is a Jewish population decrease and decline. Every other country in the world, there is not a Jewish natural birth increase from Jewish babies. There is not a natural increase in any other country on the planet other than Israel. So it's so obvious where the future is. In the Galut, in America, for instance, 90% of the Jews wouldn't know a Jewish concept if they fell over it, are not interested in anything Jewish. They don't even consider Israel when they vote for candidates for political office, as if, by the way, voting for a candidate for political office is not even 1/1000th of what you should be doing for the Jewish people. You're supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael and be willing to sacrifice your life if necessary for Eretz Yisrael. That's what Hashem actually expects of you. And even when they just vote for office, they don't even consider Israel. 78% of American Jews voted for Barack Hussein Obama. They voted for a Muslim anti-Semite with the worst anti-Israel record. They didn't care. 78% voted for Obama. 90% of Jews were voting for Roosevelt when he allowed the Holocaust to go on and enabled the Germans to murder 6 million Jews. 90% of the Jews in the United States are effectively disassociating themselves from being Jewish. They're ashamed and embarrassed of being Jewish. They're self-hating. They vote for people that are against their own people and against Israel. They work against their own interests. You look at every anti-Israel candidate, every anti-Israel cause, it's funded mainly by self-hating Jews. The Jewish billionaires, the wealthy Jews, the powerful Jews, all working against their own people. There is no future in the Galut. In Eretz Yisrael, the majority of Jews are right-wing. Stupidly right-wing. They vote for Likud, they vote for Netanyahu, but we're trying to straighten that out now. And at least there we have hope, and eventually we are going to straighten it out. Eventually they're going to see the light. Because Hashem says that the Jews are going to see the light and return. But only the Jews that want to be Jewish, that want to be part of the Jewish people, and those are the Jews that live in Eretz Yisrael. Not the Jews in America, not the Jews of the Galut. The vast majority of Jews outside of Israel don't give a damn about being Jewish. Are running away from it, are ashamed and embarrassed. And again, the Galut Jewish population in every country in the world outside of Israel is shrinking every year. Every country outside of Israel. Only in Israel do we have a natural increase. Now what about yeshiva and Torah study? Because one of the excuses used by the so-called religious who don't want to go to Israel, one of the excuses they've always used is, but we learn more, we have such great Torah study, we have such great, and that's in Israel, you know, you have all these temptations to do bad things. And, oh, come on, it's the opposite that's true. The Torah and yeshiva world in Israel is so many light years ahead of the primitive Torah and yeshiva world of the Galut. It's a joke. It's a joke. Yeshiva students in Israel are far more advanced than yeshiva students in America or outside of Israel. First of all, because of Hebrew. Because they naturally, they immediately understand the language of the Torah, the language of the Tanakh. They immediately understand it, and they can grasp more quickly even Aramaic. The Babylonian Talmud, for instance, in Aramaic, they can grasp it much more quickly because Aramaic is similar to Hebrew. So they have a tremendous language advantage, which is a huge advantage. Plus, we are taught, it's Chazal taught us that the land of the atmosphere, the air of the land of Israel brings wisdom and brings true Torah study. Just being, just the essence of being in the land of Israel makes you wiser and makes you a better Torah student. And so the yeshiva world and the Torah world is flourishing in the land of Israel compared to the joke that we have outside of Israel. Outside of Israel, it's a joke. A joke. And 10-year-old Israeli students, 10-year-old Israeli yeshiva students can quote Tanakh and Torah and Chazal far better than 15 or 16-year-old yeshiva students in the Galut. It's pathetic. There is a second Holocaust that's taking place now. The first Holocaust was the physical Holocaust in the 1940s when over 6 million of our brothers and sisters were brutally murdered. Hashem Yikom Damam. May God avenge their blood. And now the souls of millions of Jews are being destroyed in the Galut through assimilation and intermarriage and all the terrible things we see happening here. And you know something? The spiritual Holocaust is worse than the physical one. Worse. Because the physical Holocaust, those Jews did lose their bodies. But in the next world, at least, they have a chance for eternal life. The spiritual Holocaust, the Jews are losing both their bodies because their lives are worthless if they don't live Jewish lives. That's what you're in this world for. They're losing both their bodies and their souls. Both this world and the next world. Both this temporary world and the eternal world, the next world. We have to show Jews how precious Eretz Yisrael is. This gift that Hashem has given us after 2,000 years, that Jews died for. Real religious Jews dreamed of Eretz Yisrael when they were in Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen and the Nazi death camps. Real religious Jews dreamed of Eretz Yisrael when they were being slaughtered by Christian crusaders who took swords out and cut the babies out of pregnant Jewish women's stomachs screaming, "Christ, we adore thee," and burned Jews to death in Jewish synagogues. Burned thousands of Jews to death in synagogues, men, women, and children, again, dancing around screaming, "Christ, we adore thee." Okay? While that was happening, those Jews were praying and dreaming of Eretz Yisrael. That dream is alive today. That dream is coming true. Hashem is bringing the Jews back to his land. And it is our job to tell the Jews and alert the Jews of what a precious gift they have and why it's incumbent upon all of us to settle the land of Israel, to liberate the land of Israel, and to have Jewish sovereignty throughout the land of Israel. Every week I give you the stats on our advertising campaign. Over 142,000 views, Baruch Hashem now. Over 142,000 Jews in Israel have seen our videos now, giving messages like the messages you see on this show, in Hebrew, of course. Of course, our messages on the on our videos are in Hebrew, and they're much shorter because it's in a commercial form, so it's like 60 to 90 second messages. But believe me, they're effective, very effective, and a high percentage of the Jews that react say, "Oh, you know, makes sense what they're saying, makes sense." We got to try to reach as many people as possible. We're working on doing that. That's our job in this world. Every one of you, Jew and Gentile, you have something more important in life than just making money, than just advancing a career, than just thinking about what other people think of you. You have more important things in life. You have a higher calling. The question is, are you going to answer that calling? Are you going to do what you were put in this world to do? That's the real question. And that's what we are urging the Jews of Israel to do. And if you want to do something really, really great, help us reach thousands and thousands of Jews in Israel with this message, then you're doing something very important for Eretz Yisrael, for the land of Israel. You're doing something very important to help settle the land. You're doing something very important for the future of Israel and the Jewish people. That's what JTF is about. Yes, we take unpopular positions sometimes and say unpopular things, but history is on our side, because what we're saying is what Hashem commanded us to stand for in the Torah. And if we stand with principles and do what's right and stand for truth, we can build a generation of true Jewish idealists, Jews that will fight for what's right, Jews that will fight for what's just, Jews that will fight together to make this a better world, Jews and righteous Gentiles. And then we'll be a light unto the nations, and a holy nation, and a nation of priests. Join with us. If we fight together as a team, we can make this a better world. And of course, the tragedy in Pittsburgh was a terrible incident, and we hope that we can avoid terrible tragedies like this in the future. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.